Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, family and friends. As always, I'd like to start the show by thanking you all for making this show what it is today. Truly, it could not be possible if it had not been for your support. So definitely would like to thank you for those times that you stopped and listened and just gave your attention to us as we carried on gospel messages and reached out to you and tried to challenge you in your thinking about theological points and perspectives using this platform. Also would like to thank our executive producer, Brother James Brown, for providing this worldwide platform for us to be able to stand on in the first place. You know, I'm so honored and pleased, and it gives me great pleasure to be able to reach out to people that has a theological foundation, one, or two, have the craving for God to actually stand and listen to a word that it will challenge us and allow us to grow in such a way that we all can do kingdom building through our knowledge and equipping of it. But, you know, as we come here today, I just would like to pause for a moment and just seek the throne of grace before we go about any serious undertaking. So let us just pause and pray. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day, this time, this space that you've appointed for us. We bless your name that you allow us to be able to share on this worldwide platform, God. We ask that you just continue to open up our hearts, our minds, give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding necessary that we might be equipped to walk closer to you, to understand those things as it relates to us in both the spiritual and the physical, plus grow in our faith and ultimately come into a space where we can please you. Oh, Lord, allow us to be challenged in our thinking so that we can be elevated, so that we might go about our practice of our spirituality closer to your principles as found in your word. Lord, we trust you, we believe you, and we declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, family and friends, it's the holiday season. The season is upon us. And so, you know, this is one of those seasons that's really funny because we go into this space and this place where we tend to be more loving towards strangers. We tend to look out for our fellow man. But the reality is, during this season, we also have some of the highest violent attacks on family members. Family to family. This is one of the seasons where it has the highest depression rate. Why? It's because we find ourselves in spaces and places where we don't, I believe, look at things in a spiritual context. When we fail to look at things in a spiritual context, we find ourselves struggling with things that are physical. Because what spiritual actually transcends more than just the spiritual realm, but it affects us in the material as well. And what I mean by that is everything that we do, we should be conscious, we should be cognizant of Christ. So, as it relates to even this holiday season, I would like to challenge you and ask you, where does where does Christ actually fit in your season? So, with that being said, today I titled this talk for today, it would be 'Tis the Season. And so, with that in mind, I also want to read from you from the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. If you find your if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Matthew 25, beginning with the 40th verse, and we're going to read a few of the following verses. I think it's going to conclude at verse 46. The Bible reads, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So today I just want to share with you from the central thought process of 'Tis the Season. 'Tis the Season. Brothers and sisters, this is the season, or 'tis the season, where we go and we put up our Christmas trees, we put the garland around the tree, and we put up our Christmas ornaments. It's the season where we go out and we go shopping and we buy presents. Matter of fact, this is the season where billions of dollars help to spike or stimulate our economy. This is the season where each year we tend to spend more and more. The commercialism in this season is perpetuated by many of our much of our response to it. What I mean by that is, this is a time where we go out and we're so commercial minded that I challenge us to actually evaluate our spiritual good. I'll say that again. Some of us become so commercial minded during this season that I challenge us to evaluate our spiritual good. And I'm not saying that you're not spiritual because you go out and buy Christmas gifts. I'm saying that we need to challenge ourselves and our thinking. I dare you to go and start doing the homework and understand the origin of the Christmas tree. To understand that during this season, what actually happened that causes us to respond the way that we do. Why do we go out and buy presents for everyone else? Catch this. Buy presents for mom, dad. Buy presents for our brothers and our sisters. We buy presents for our children. But what prompted it? Is it based on the traditional ideology that 'tis the season, that this is what you're supposed to do? 'Tis the season that you're supposed to go find a fat white man with white hair and sit on his lap because he's wearing red, trimmed and white, and he says he's from the North Pole. And we actually perpetuate this ideology and tell our children that even though you should not lie, we lie to you, and we tell you that your gifts come from Santa Claus. Tell them that reindeer know how to fly. Sing songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and we actually perpetuate the commercialism. We sing it in our Christmas songs. We actually do it with the putting up of the Christmas tree. Understand the paganistic aspect of that. Now, I'm not here to actually deflate your Christmas spirit or take you out of the context of enjoying your holiday. But instead, I'm trying to get you to see that Christmas is commercial when it don't have Christ. See, here it is. What we learn about Christmas is it's a holiday that we give, but we need to get back to the understanding that really it's supposed to be all about Christ. It's supposed to be a special celebration. It's supposed to be a Christ Mass. Christmas is actually Christ Mass, which means that it's a special coming together. It's a special worship and celebration and praise moment that we actually dedicate to Christ. But I'm afraid that through the commercialism, through the paganism, that sometimes we tend to miss out on the spiritual aspect of what Christmas is really supposed to be about. I was talking about this with some friends, with some neighbors, and I told them, imagine this. If it was your birthday, your friends and your family and even some people from your neighborhood came to celebrate. Now, when they showed up, they brought you a cake and they put candles on top of it. And however old you are, they lit your candles and they brought the ice cream and they had different kinds of ice cream for everybody else's taste. You like chocolate cake, but they brought vanilla. And they brought red velvet cake. They brought some angel food cake. They brought all of these different cakes, but they didn't bring chocolate. You like vanilla bean, but they brought Superman. Or they brought chocolate instead. So here it is. They brought their own cake. Or they brought you a cake, I'm sorry, but for their own taste. Or they brought ice cream for your celebration, but they brought it for their own liking. And then they brought gifts. They found out what each other wanted, and they brought gifts on your birthday. How would you feel if they blew out the candles on your cake, served your ice cream, slice of your cake? How would you feel if they came to your house, so-called, and they passed out gifts to everyone else but you on your birthday? I challenge us in our thinking to consider if this is what we're doing on your birthday. First of all, I want to just educate you with this. December 25th is not the actual day that Christ was born. However, it is the day that we have taken to celebrate the birth of Christ. So as we're celebrating the day that Christ was supposed to be birthed into the world, are you giving everybody and anybody else a gift except for Christ? We'll go up to strangers and we'll give a stranger a gift. So I've seen some people on Facebook or, you know, on some social media, and I've seen commercials where people have gone out and they do something nice for a stranger. Hey, man, that's wonderful. It's nice. It's kind. A random act of kindness goes also a long way. But imagine giving somebody else a gift, or everybody else getting a gift on your day. Are we doing this to Christ? Are we giving everybody else a gift except for Christ on Christ's birthday? It really vexed me in my spirit when I began to think about this, because I thought about how many times I was feeling depressed around Christmas time because I went out and I spent up my checks, found myself going robbing from Peter, trying to pay Paul because of Christmas, found myself dealing with making arrangements on my bills, feeling the stress of will my kids like these presents? Will my wife actually like what I bought for her? Is my family going to enjoy these gifts that I got? What about the people that I drew names out of a hat with at work? Are they going to like those? And so we incur all of this different stress, all of these different stressors around this different time, all because we're trying to give gifts, and sometimes we're trying to overextend ourselves financially, bringing stress and depression into our lives, causing us to have emotional upheavals, causing us to go into a lot of different places that is not really designed for us to be, because you want to give somebody a gift. When is the last time we thought about giving Jesus a gift on his birthday? We're celebrating this day as his day. We chose not to find out what's his exact day. So because we gave him a day, can we at least give him a gift? Somebody's going to catch this in a minute. If we chose to give him a day to celebrate his birth, can we at least give him a gift for his birthday? Let us go now and look at this scripture. The Bible says he's going to say on his left, look, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. Why? Because we tend to approach God, or we approach our spirituality under false pretenses. If we advocate for being people of the truth or people of the light, and then we turn around and we propagate these lies, the Bible don't teach us that, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness until it's Christmas time or until it's Easter. The Bible does not say that it's wrong to lie until it's Easter time or until it's Christmas. We have a responsibility to stand on the truth. Here's another thing that we don't actually share with you, or we don't teach around Christmas time and around Easter time. We don't tell you that the Bible says that God says that I'm a jealous God. God says that, look, I will share my glory with no man. And so here it is. Santa Claus is a man. He might be a fictitious man, but he's a man nonetheless. Imagine God says, I will share my glory with no man, and we turn around and share these paganistic kind of ideologies with the fictitious man in a suit that's supposed to come from the North Pole. The paganism. Imagine what God has allowed to happen to all of those paganistic people who plague Israel. And then we turn around and we perpetuate paganism on Christmas. And the same Easter is really a celebration that's supposed to commemorate Ishtar. And so when we have these different paganistic and these different things that happen around Christmas and the gift giving to everyone else, it actually has its root, its foundation in paganism. Once upon a time, actually the celebration of Christmas as we actually celebrate it right now was banned. It was banned. The early church fathers did not want the celebration of Christmas to go forward the way we propagated it because it was paganistic. Oh, my goodness. And it's because God says he'll share his glory with no man. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. It comes from the Father of light. So you've been blessed with the opportunity, with the ability, with the financial abilities to be able to provide these gifts to your children, but yet we turn around and we take the glory away from God and we give it to a fictitious man from the North Pole. So knowing that God is a jealous God, how do we make God feel on what's supposed to be his day? On a day that he says he'll share his glory with no man, we turn around and we share his glory with Santa. My friends, I know it's convicting, but I know one of the things that we can do is we can do better as a people. We can do better spiritually. We don't have to perpetrate the lie. We can tell our children about Jesus, how he came into the world, how he lived, how he died, and that today we're celebrating not the fact that he just lived and not the fact that he died, but it's because of him we have salvation. And because of that, we celebrate his birth. We celebrate him being the gift and understand that, listen, if we give gifts one to another, we give gifts based on the fact that God has given us a gift. And now we mimic what God has done for us by giving us the gift. But when we give that gift, we help them to see the divine purpose behind that gift. We help them to see that one of the things that we need to do is look at the world through God's eyes, and we begin to actually celebrate what God is doing for us by giving gifts. Now, as we talk about giving gifts, I challenge you with the thinking of giving God a gift on his day. I want to read for you within this context of this scripture as we examine this passage or pericope, how it actually gives us a lot of purpose. Verse 42 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Hold on. So what we should see here is how we give a gift to God. Because verse 44 begins to wrap it up. Then they will answer saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison, and we didn't minister to you?" So here it is. God is saying to us, look, I went through these different things and you did not help me. You was not there for me. You did not show up for me. Hold on, let me make it more relevant to right now. This is my day that you say you celebrate me, but you didn't show up to me and give me a gift. You didn't show up and give me nothing. And so here it is, it's like us saying, God, when did we not give you anything? When did we not actually minister to you? Come on, imagine God saying you didn't do nothing for me. And then you ask him, Lord, what are you talking about? I would never forsake you. Here it is in the Bible. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'd never leave you. And some of us tell God this day, oh, God, if you just only do this, then I'll do that. Oh, Lord, if you just, oh, my God, help me out of this situation, Lord, I'll show up. I'll come to church. Amen. I'll live right. I'll do the right thing. I'll be your people. I'll fly straight from here on out. Oh, Lord, if you just help me out of this situation, I promise you this, oh, God.
Lying.
Because even though God gives us the answer to this whole equation to make it totally make sense, many of us, we still ignore it. 'Tis the season where we ignore him. 'Tis the season where we turn our backs on him. 'Tis the season where we go out and we shop and we spend money on our family and our friends. 'Tis the season where we don't live out the true meaning of what Christmas or Christ Mass or really this holy day is really supposed to be about. 'Tis the season where we forget what it's like to minister to God in the context of what he actually says right here in his word. 'Tis the season where we'll go out and we'll help our family and our friends, and amen. I'm not saying don't lend a hand or don't help your family and your friends ever, or don't reach out or don't be loving or charitable towards your family, friends, because love and charity actually begins at home. But here it is. God is saying something profound to us that we tend to miss every single year. God is telling us how we can give him a gift. It's right here, verse 45, my friend. He says, then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you. Like, look, you can hang your hat on this. You can rest your laurels on this. Understand that the word of God does not come back to him null and void, but understand it goes forward with anointing, with purpose. It goes forward with authority. And understand that his word is his word, period. Bible says that, listen, heaven and earth will pass away, but understand that there's not one jot, one tittle. That means that one single iota, not one word, there's not one character of what God has said that will pass away. It never will, because God will not make a mistake. Actually, God is his word is inerrant. That means it is without error. You will not make God look like a fool ever. And he says this, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of these, to one of the least of these. See, sometimes we'll give gifts when we want to look a certain way, or we'll give gifts according to status or stature, or we'll give gifts based on how I feel about you. We'll give those kind of gifts all day, every day. We'll give gifts to the most esteemed family members, to the matriarchs or the patriarchs within our family. We'll give those gifts, but then we'll bypass somebody that's hungry. Or how about 'tis the season where we pretend to be a person that loves and care about our fellow man, and we go out just during this season and do it, but we can't carry this love in our hearts all the time. Notice it says that as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me on Christmas. Notice it did not say that specifically during the Christmas time where you spent the season, when you hang up all your wreaths and Christmas trees, and suddenly now you go give a few extra dollars to the homeless. Not just Christmas. You want to give a gift to God. Give him the gift of consistency. Give them the gift of consistently caring about somebody in a worse situation than you. Give them the gift of caring about somebody who's hungry, and let that be a consistency in your heart, because you understand that that's the very character of Christ. That's the cause of Christ. In our church, we say that welcome to the Center of Spirit of Truth, the place where we champion the cause of Christ. What is the cause of Christ? I care about you that's hungry. I care about that person that's thirsty.
I care about the person in prison. I care about that person that's in a place where they need some nourishment. They need some resources. I care about that place that needs to feel, that person that needs to feel the love of Christ in their heart. I care about that person that I need to be the example of Christ that actually showed them my life. Am I going to be perfect? No, I'm not going to be perfect. But I care. I carry the character of Christ in my heart because I champion the cause of Christ. I truly want to do his will. I truly want to be his disciple. He said, by this shall they know that you are my disciples, by your love one to another. He said, look, he said, you want to show your love for me? He said, obey my word. That's how you show my love for me. So if you obey his word, then you understand that to love him, to give him a gift, to actually show and demonstrate your love toward him, care about even the least of these. You care about his people. You care about the suffering that they endure. You care about the affliction. You care about when they cry. You care about when they hurt because they have nowhere to turn because it's cold outside and they're homeless. You care because you know how it feels to be hungry even for a day or half a day and understand that this person who's homeless, who's not eating or don't have anything to eat or haven't eaten for a long period of time, they're not fasting because of spiritual reasons. They're not even fasting at all. They're just going hungry, and hunger hurts, and you understand that because the last time you were fasting, come on, somebody, you broke your fast by accident. You forgot that you said you were fasting before you stuck the candy bar in your mouth, or you thought when nobody wasn't looking that it was okay for you to go ahead and do what you do and won't nobody know anyway. I just want to challenge you today, my friend. You elevated your thinking and you got to a place that you knew that they were hungry and you always had it in your heart that if you could, you would help as many people as you could. In your ministry, a ministry leader or a pastor or a preacher, or apostle or, or bishop or the evangelist or those of us who actually carry the mantle of ministry, that we advocate for actually doing the will of God and carrying out the cause of Christ, and that's actually ministering to our community and carrying the word of God with us. See, when you carry the word of God with you and you minister to people, you actually have the cause of Christ. That's ministry. See, if you actually help people and you don't have Christ, that's community. Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with helping out in your community. When you actually go and you carry the word of Christ, but you don't help, you have your community, amen, you're just preaching. But when you actually combine the two together, you actually have mission. Ministry plus the word of God equals a mission. You have mission. You have the commission, but the commission actually has an element of the mission to it. So today I want to just challenge you, my friends, my family, not that we should step away from celebrating this day and giving gifts, but I think we should give gifts in context and let it be for a spiritual reason. Take this holiday into a holy day, into a holy day where we can celebrate Christ and it be about Christ and Christ be our nucleus. Christ be the thing that we actually celebrate on today. Instead of the paganistic aspect of it, instead of the commercialism of it. Instead, let us look to God because he's the author and finisher of our faith. You want to give God a gift this holiday season? I challenge somebody hungry. Be consistent with helping a stranger, helping somebody that's naked, clothe them, helping somebody that's sick, give them resources, helping somebody that's in prison. Go and talk to them. Go and visit them and share a word of God with them, even in the prison. Be consistent in your ministry because we know that consistency in doing these things is what's pleasing unto God. If we do it to the least of them, we'll also do it for God as well. Tis the season. Tis the season where we be mindful of Christ instead of paganistic and commercial. As always, I love you all in Christ. God bless.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah.
is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Y'all know that song.